Hello, everyone. Welcome to Christian Professionals Network. My name is Jimmy Pala, and I have the privilege of being the convener of this platform where we raise, teach, train ethical and excellent Christian professionals who would rise, thrive, and take over their respective industries by practically applying Bible-based principles to achieve results. So I know that I promised during the last podcast that we're going to continue bold moves, and I believe we will, because we've not exhausted that story, or should I say the learnings from that story or lessons from that story. However, I feel led to share something that was basically bubbling in my spirit this morning when I was doing some Bible reading and study and in the morning. And I also feel that it's quite apt, or should I say spot on, for recent happenings in our times, especially considering the geographic location where I currently reside. There's been, cause with everything that's been happening around the world generally, how at times it seems like things are just going awry, and then when you now look at some other concentrated locations, you're like, what's going on? What's really happening? And I want to call this podcast, or I want to title it, The Road Less Traveled, because I was listening to the Bible, or reading the Bible. Yeah, basically meditating on the Bible this morning. And the story of Joseph, honestly, I'm wondering if Joseph is about to start competing with Daniel in terms of the professionals we love Bible reference for CPN. However, we'll just keep going as the Spirit leads. But I've been noticing that I've just found myself meditating a lot on the story and experience of Joseph and the results that God helped him to achieve. And I realized something, that yes, the way Joseph landed the job or landed in Egypt was not really the most ideal. If he had a better character and his inception, perhaps he probably would not have been sold to slavery, if he knew when to keep his mouth shut and decided not to always grandstand or borderline sound condescending. Because at times, when you feel like you hear God, or you feel like you know you are favored, and humility and confidence is something that is very hard to balance. So I'm just going to be talking through and hoping that you're getting the message as we're discussing. I've come to realize that humility and confidence is a rare combination, but a required one, especially as you grow on your journey and as God empowers, favors you, and you start gaining both visibility, ranking, mileage as you climb up the career ladder. It's a very important but rare combination that you must have as a Christian professional. Because Joseph was favored. He was, you can say, called, chosen, anointed, smart boy, but the boy was actually proud. Let's tell ourselves the truth. That's how I feel like all that throwing him into the pits, selling him off to Egyptians, like, there would have been a better way, or should I say a more excellent way of landing his dream job without having to go through all those tribulations. But it feels like it's a consequence of the character defect that he had at that time that needed to be fixed through the challenges that he had to go through in preparing him for the ultimate role of the prime minister. Imagine if Joseph, with that his arrogant and condescending behavior, went straight from his father's house. First of all, he's already preferred child. Everybody already liked his father. Not everybody. His father really already loved him. And he was already kind of despising his brothers, was despising the sons of his father's concubines, Bilhah and what's the name of the other lady. He was despising his brothers. And he was just, basically, he had a chip on his shoulder, if we tell ourselves the truth. And that was why he was highly despised, to the point that they plotted. Let's compare Joseph and Daniel. Daniel, also talented, blessed, obviously favored. But Daniel did not have a chip on his shoulder. He had the right attitude. Even when he did not want to eat from the king's table when others were eating, he did not say, you peasants, you idol worshippers, you... He was not basically turning or raising his noses at them. But Joseph, how do you just dream a dream where you know, say, you'll be last born and you saw that the stars, moon, everybody was worshiping you. You were to just come blurt it, just like they say in Nigeria, just open your mouth. Wow, just that, like, there was no, the guy had no discretion, he had no EI, no emotional intelligence. So it's very possible to be highly talented, to be highly favored, to have high potential. Like, God, you and everyone around you sees the potential that this one is a C-suite executive in making. But your character can actually either slow down the process for you, or at times even jeopardize it totally. So being talented is great. Being favored is great. But building character to carry all that comes with that, to manage the results, the growth, with humility and confidence, is something that you now have to work out. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that we must work out our own salvation. As in, Jesus has saved you, you're not going to hell. Great. Well, now, in terms of how you now live as a Christian, you have to put in the work. So God has given you all these promises. You see that you're on the, you're basically on the lane of the high potential employees, candidates, high flyers, high performers. There tends to be a possibility, a strong likelihood, to become arrogant, condescending, intolerant, and impatient of those that you feel that are not on the, in quote, in parentheses, fastening with you. Because if Joseph had better emotional intelligence, think of it. They tell you that you are just 6 months into this organization, but because you're such a high flyer and you're a high potential employee, you're going to be promoted over the ones that have been there for 4 years, 8 years, 9 years, and you're just going to start bragging and blurting it all over. Nobody's saying that you should be timid, no. Or you should apologize for the fact that you are favored and diligent. Certainly not. That's why I said humility and confidence is a rarity that you should have in terms of combination as a Christian. Because you can't be timid because you don't want to come across as arrogant. It's very important that you're both humble and confident. Confident in the abilities that God has given you. Confident in the God that has favored you. Confident in the skills and experience that you have garnered. But also humble enough to know that, one, it's not solely by your strength that you got there. That at times the fastest runner does not always win the race. Humble enough to know that God's hand of favor is what is making you stand out and distinguishing you. Humble enough to know that no man is an island. People have helped you, whether it's relationships, bosses, line managers, referrals that have opened you up to gaining new skills, courses, and experiences, or people that have even helped you come out of hot water. Humble enough to know that you don't know everything, and that no matter how high you seem to be rising, you're still on a learning journey, and you can learn from all across, above, across, beneath, all cadres, all levels of stakeholders and engagement. But that's not really even where I'm going. So where am I going with this story? And it's really from Genesis 39. Why did I say the road less traveled? At times, we presume or jump into this conclusion that because God is with me, I will not have a problem. Lies. Big, fat lies. Even Jesus, let's start with New Testament before people say that this one is Old Testament story. Jesus said it, like, settle it. You must say, in this world, though, in this, as long as you're in this world, we have not gone to heaven yet. The trumpet has not blown, paparampa, let's go to heaven. So as long as you're in this world, whether you're working in the best workplace ever or the most toxic system you can imagine, whichever of the extremes, or yours is just a good balance of toxicity and great culture. Wherever you are working, says in this world, as long as you're living on this earth, criteria is that you will encounter challenges. Just said, he said, in this world you have challenges, but be rest assured that no matter the challenge, there's only one outcome. He says that he has overcome. So basically, I know already that you will have to face challenges and battles. Even when you're working in God's will, you will face challenges and battles. See Abraham now. Because at times you assume that, I'm experiencing all these problems because this workplace is a dead end. By the time I get to that place that God has planned for me, by the time I leave this toxic system, leave this horrible boss, and get to that place, Uhuru, that one that's the place, what was that? What, there's a word for it. Yeah, that you get to that place, like, you have arrived, that there shall be no more problems. It's a lie. The only destination that guarantees you that is heaven. As long as you're on earth, you could literally move to the next workplace, which is God's ideal will for you, perfect will for you. in terms of your career move, in terms of your industry move, and you will still, it's still very possible to have a tough time. Echo Abraham, God promised him. How does God promise somebody to be father of many nations and he was barren too? Is he about almost 100 years? Is it 90 something that he had this kid that was 100? And then, my context in terms of the story, Joseph. Joseph eventually, by the time he got to Potiphar's house, Bible says, if you read it, I think he said about four times in Genesis 39, God was with Joseph, God was with Joseph. Between 39 and 40, it was always emphasized so strongly. So for someone to be saying like that, that means everybody could see that this guy, there's something about you. His unique selling point was God's favor. Like God had favored him, given him skill, wisdom. He understood economics. He understood, he was apt. He lacked emotional intelligence. That one, he suffered his way to learning it after doing houseboy work and being sold and having to manage. He basically was something, was a character flaw and gap that he had to learn the hard way. That's why I said, he could have arrived in Egypt an easier way if he was not as arrogant and as condescending as he was. That led his brothers to think of killing him. So yes, you can be talented. That's the first point. You can be talented and still jeopardize plans, God's plans for you, if you don't have the right character and you don't ask God for the wisdom to execute the dreams, the goals, the desires that he has put in your heart. God puts those desires at times just collect and you run off. No, you have to ask him. Oh, so you say, I'm going to work for this kind of multinational. I'm going to work for this. How do you want me to go about it? I'm not going to start announcing to your boss. You wretched woman. I'm going to be leaving you very soon. Very, very soon. I won't be dealing with all this kind of nonsense organization. You're finished. Who's going to give you reference? So is this possible that God told you that? But that tact, that's one. Joseph lacked it and he had to learn it the hard way. But when he now eventually landed in Potiphar's house and started behaving, so much so that he must have been exhibiting a level of both skillfulness and maturity for Potiphar to leave everything to a houseboy. Have you ever thought of it? Like imagine that you come in, you are still a graduate trainee and the executive director is already leaving reports for you to present, engage, is inviting you to quarterly board meetings, business reviews, executive meetings. And that's what was happening to Joseph. He said that Potiphar, who ideally in that situation was the CEO of that home, that organization, left everything in the hands of an intern, houseboy, because of how skillful he was. And obviously also, he must have learned some maturity at that point. However, you would think that, because God is with Joseph and Joseph is in God's will, his life will be all right. He can never experience anything. No. I have come to basically, what's the word now? Break down that mentality that makes you think that because you're in God's will, you will not experience challenges. That's not true. Jesus answered that question. In life, as long as you're in this life, you experience challenges. And Joyce Meyer, whom I love so much and I listen to, said something that when it comes to challenges, the only way out is through. There's no, you can't go above it, under it, beside it. The only way out is through. And this Joseph's example, when I was meditating on this scripture this morning, just made me realize, it might seem like the road less traveled, but it doesn't necessarily stop it from being God's will. Because you ask yourself, what was Potiphar's wife looking at? Now, let's read that part. That's really where I'm going in all this. But the point I'm trying to make is, do I ever feel like, because I thought I heard God, that this is supposed to be where I'm supposed to be, this is where I'm supposed to be working, this is the organization, this is the skill I'm supposed to be, why is it so hard? Why is it taking so much? Why is it demanding so much of me? Why is this skill seeming so hard for me to acquire? Why is this course seeming so difficult? Why is it so challenging? Did you really think that's just going to be a walk in the park because God said so? How are you going to build strength and resilience to do great things? So the scripture in Genesis chapter 39 from verse 6, it says, so Joseph was well built and handsome, and he says, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Like everything was going well. Potiphar has left everything in his hands and all that. Like you would ask, what were you looking for? And then with a houseboy, like what's another ED looking for with an intern? And he refused. He said, with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Basically, Joseph was a man of integrity. So this was him walking in God's will. He was doing the right thing. He said, does not concern himself with anything he owns, and he has entrusted everything to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. So basically, I've been elevated higher and farther than I ideally should be at this level because of the skillfulness and God's favor upon my life. However, I'm not going to compromise. I am not going to sell out. That's what he was basically trying to say. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Here, this is the part at times we miss. Verse 10, it says, although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. So at times when we read the scripture, we feel like she asked him out once. No, this was a consistent, it could be having consistent toxicity, consistent team member that just like a bone in your throat. He said she spoke to him day after day. So Potiphar's wife did not disturb Joseph once or twice. We don't even know how many times. Basically, I'm reading the NIV version. It says it there in verse 10. She spoke to Joseph day after day. Like, that means she was persistent. So as much as Joseph was in the perfect workplace, he was the perfect employee, he was the high flyer, highest flyer, in fact. Because for the short time that he was there, for a houseboy, how does a CEO leave you in charge as an intern over everything? That shows how exceptional he was. So you would say that this guy was right in God's will. However, there was that bone in his throat, Potiphar's wife, who was chasing him and disturbing him day after day. Day after day. Because when we read this story at times, we make it sound like it was a one-off. She asked him just once, he refused, and the next thing she went to report. No, she was persistent. So as much as it seemed like he was in the perfect workplace, he was in the ideal role, he was delivering, he was the ideal candidate, he was the ideal employee, he was dealing with the challenge of Potiphar's wife day after day, the challenge of having to protect his integrity, having to protect his job, having to deal with a toxic boss, having to deal with a difficult colleague, having to deal with a difficult direct report, having to deal with a difficult stakeholder. Every time you go for that NPR meeting or the review meeting or the project meeting, everybody's fine, but this particular stakeholder will not just try to fact find, but fault find, look for loopholes. You find yourself defending, justifying, explaining, even though everybody can tell and see that you're doing a great job. So don't ever think that because you believe or you're certain that you're smack in the will of God, that everything is always hunky-dory. A number of times, most times it is, but it's not always the case. Don't feel like because you have to learn a higher level of emotional intelligence dealing with a particular stakeholder who is difficult yet unavoidable because of how crucial they are to your work and to your success in the organization, or that you have to gain a skill set which you probably loathe, like you loathe it, you can't stand it, or you know that it's critical for the next level, whatever that means for you, or that you have to take on courses, programs, or exams that you're like, with this my busy life, where will I find the time? Don't ever feel, because you're smack in the middle of God's will, that everything is going to be easy, peasy, breezy. No. And when you find yourself there, and you know that you're right in God's will, but you have to deal with the challenges that come with that level and phase, always remember that the only way out is through. And that's why I said that it might look like the road less traveled. Don't think caving in is... Imagine if Joseph had caved in. Think about it. He caved in. He would never have grown past that intern level. Potiphar's house would have been the highest achievement on his CV. Pause and think about it for a minute. If Joseph had caved in. And that's why the Bible says, if you fail in the days of adversity, it's not that the adversity was bigger than you or was too much for you, it's that your strength was small. It says in the Message translation that if you give in, it says that there was not much to you in the first place. If Joseph had caved in and given to Potiphar's wife, the highest achievement in his entire career, you know, that would have been a play too for him. That's the highest, because he can't go anywhere again. If he had caved in, slept with her once, he can't leave that house ever again. Because not only does she not have blackmail on him, if you dare say you want to go and look also, which other house, you can't go anywhere else. I tell my husband, as in she literally will blackmail him for life. And of course, he would literally contaminate the favor that he has been enjoying from God through his skillfulness and integrity of his heart. Remember that our scripture, I think Psalm 78, verse 72. I hope I got it right. It says that David led the people with the skillfulness of his hands and the integrity of his hands. The skillfulness of your hand for you as a Christian professional and the integrity of your hand, they go in tandem. So he could not, he would have not only, what's the word now, stepped out of the favor and the covering that he was enjoying. That would have been the highest achievement in his career. He would have plateaued automatically because there's no way he would have achieved anything higher than that if he had caved into that pressure, given into that toxicity, thrown in the towel, say, I'm not going to take this course again, I beg, it's too hard. It's for the gods, it's not for humans like you. Or whatever excuse he could have given himself to caving. Because remember, this woman was persistent. So the challenge might be persistent. It might look like, what is it? Did they just arrange a trail of toxic or difficult or challenging bosses or stakeholders for you? It might seem persistent, but does not always necessarily mean that you are out of God's will. It's just that there are things that you need to overcome, going through, not around, under. The only way out is through. And think about it. Yes, it looked like staying on God's path got Joseph into difficult times or into hot water. If you read the story and you don't really read it through with a mind of revelation, you'd be like, is it not better that this guy would have just slept with this woman and he will not go to prison? He will be the biggest houseboy ever. But remember, even though he was accused by a stakeholder that could not be refuted, there are really some stakeholders that is very important that, as much as you can manage, of course without compromising, avoid having to be on their bad side, because you are favored, yes. You can't deny that. But there are some stakeholders that their words hold water, whether it's true or not. That's something else I learned from this. There are some stakeholders that are too key and too crucial that their words hold water. See Haman now. He was a bad guy, evil somebody. He would have cleared out those Jews if Esther did not take the battle spiritual. So there are some stakeholders that, although wicked, although they are accusing you, their words hold water in the places that matter. So you also, that's why the Bible says, wisdom is profitable to direct. I really hope that someone is learning and gaining something today. But to the final point that I was about to make, why it's important to stay on the road less traveled, and when you're dealing with these challenges, to understand that it's important you go through it, not around it or under. Joseph going around or under this would have been caving in to Potiphar's wife, but he went through it. He went to prison. It must have been tough. Now imagine, after being head houseboy, senior intern, executive intern, and all that, running things, suddenly, not only was he dismissed, was dismissed shamefully and with disgrace over a crime he did not even commit because of the caliber of the stakeholder that accused him. It will look like he lost. But think about it. Let me just paint the big picture small for you. Do you realize that a few years down the line, just as I said, the only way out is through. If you stay on the road less traveled, which is God's will for your life, despite or in spite of the challenges that comes with it, especially in your career journey. Do you realize that a few chapters, I don't know how many years that took down the line, Potiphar would have been coming to him and be saying, Oga, good afternoon, sir. Yes, sir. When he was prime minister, do you really think, because you remember that Potiphar was also working he was one of the staff of the king. He was working within the palace. So imagine that the person that was his boss and seemed to have ended his career because he stayed on the road less traveled. It was just a matter of whether months, weeks, years. Potiphar would not be the one that would be bowing to him. Sir Joseph, Prime Minister Joseph. They don't born you well not to put me Sir, Doctor, Mr. Minister Joseph. And in his mind, he'd be like, it's not this brother was houseboy in his house how many years ago that his wife accused. And who knows, maybe the truth eventually came out. So it seemed like a difficult road. The road less traveled might be difficult, but as long as you're sure that it's God's will for you, whether it's that difficult program, that difficult, seemingly difficult organization, difficult leadership, difficult stakeholders, difficult course, the only way out is through. And if you stay on it and stay on God's path, there is no way, it's just a matter of time, there is no way you will not come out on top. because it was just a matter of time that Potiphar had to start bowing to Joseph as boss man when he became prime minister. If Joseph had caved in Potiphar's house, that would never have happened, because his career would have peaked and plateaued and ended in Potiphar's house. But gratefully, he had the wisdom to stay on the road less traveled, no matter how tough and difficult it seemed. It was just a matter of time. Someone that was his ultimate boss now became one of his subordinates. Because prime minister and servant, you can't compare. There's no way Potiphar now can say your royal highness or your whatever, your eminence, your excellency, to a boy that was a houseboy in his house, because he stayed the path, even though it seemed like the road less traveled, the less familiar road. He went through it, and most importantly, he trusted God to bring him out of it. He stood on the word that God gave him. This word, you know, he carried it from Israel before they sold him. You know what he saw in a dream. God told him, sun and the moon and stars, all of them will bow to him. He held on. He insisted. And that's what we prayed about on Wednesday. He insisted on God's word. He said, I insist. This thing that was shown, I insist. He insisted on it. Stayed on the road less traveled. Stayed on the difficult path, no matter how hard it seemed. He was sure that he knew what God told him, and he was right on that path, even though it was not the easiest path. It was just a matter of time before people that he was bowing to as a slave came bowing to him as a prime minister, including Potiphar. So stay on it. And remember that the only way out of it is through, as long through as in T-H-R-O-U-G-H. Not around, not under. Don't sell out. Don't compromise. The way out is through, no matter how difficult. As long as you know what God has told you, stay on it, stay with him, and you will definitely come out on top. It's just a matter of time. I hope this has blessed you. I hope you have learned something. And God bless you. And see you next time. Hopefully, we'll continue bold moves, or we'll just keep going as the Spirit leads. God bless you. Bye.